The Innocent, Chapter 6. He had an almighty headache brewing, and had nothing to do with the fact that his brother had gone AWOL. He trusted that, even now, Dean wouldn't do anything stupid. Actually, he thought that Dean was less likely to do something stupid now than he had been before. The Dean of old often took unnecessary risks to get the job done. Okay, so maybe they weren't unnecessary, that was unfair, but he often put his neck on the line for the sake of someone else. He was never his own first priority. This Dean, this mellow, considerate, thoughtful Dean would. Hell, he would still probably put other people first. But he wasn't an adrenaline junkie. He didn't thrive on the rush, on the hunt, on the kill. He probably needed to just get away, have some space. Probably wasn't used to someone being there, watching over him every second of the day and night. He had to admit that he didn't have a clue about how Dean saw the world now. About how he saw the crusade that he'd been raised to fight. Dean had never been one for talking, at least the old Dean hadn't been. Maybe the new one, the one that was out there somewhere in the cold, would be amenable to talking about how he felt, what he wanted out of life. Ironic, really, that one of the things taken away from Dean was an ability to communicate effectively with words. He knew there were other priorities right now, like finding Dean, but he couldn't help thinking about the future. Dean's future. If they got through this crisis, if they survived the danger that was stalking Dean, if Dean did, what next? Dean could not go back to Fairview. That was no longer an option. Even if the fire hadn't destroyed half the place, even if the supernatural hadn't started exerting its presence on the area, Sam wouldn't have been able to face the idea of sending Dean away again. Yes, seeing Dean again had been hard. But not seeing him, that had been so much harder. The last couple of days had made Sam feel like the big brother. It had given him an appreciation for the way Dean had taken care of him, looked out for him. Just as Dean would never abandon Sam, would never consider it, Sam knew that he would never be able to turn his back on his brother. Not again. He'd done so last time for purely selfish reasons, and he couldn't deny it. Hunting was not an option for Dean anymore. He wasn't physically up to it. Maybe he could stop now, too. It wasn't something he thought about for himself since he'd given up his dreams of college. But maybe he could. Maybe. Dean's file said that he could live an independent life away from any kind of institution. Keeping him at Fairview had been convenient for Dad. That's all it came down to, really. Dean could have left, could have tried for some sort of independent living, but he never attempted it. Sam figured he knew why. Dean wouldn't have been able to go and live just anywhere. He would need to stay close to a hospital for his therapy sessions. He wouldn't have been able to work either, so financial support would have been needed too. If the offer was made, though, the offer to let him sell somewhere where he wouldn't be alone, in a place where he could make decisions for himself, would Dean take the chance or turn the opportunity? Sam could protect him from any supernatural dangers that may attempt to take advantage of his weaknesses. Assuming Dean let him, of course. That would be a big if. He could already see Dean throwing obstacles in his path, resenting Sam's attempts to take care of him. He wasn't certain he could do it, though. He could. Maybe Dean wouldn't even notice that he was doing it. Maybe. Maybe he could find a way to make Dean believe that he was doing Sam the favor. It was something to consider. Dad could be more of an impediment to his plans, though. He wouldn't like the idea of both of his sons out of the hunt. Wouldn't like it at all. Maybe a compromise could be reached, Sam going off on occasional hunts with his father, but living with Dean most of the time. That was a hell of a lot of maybes. Despite his dad's assertion that Dean wouldn't remember the house they once lived in, it had, of course, been the first place he'd driven to. Sitting low in the seat, he allowed his eyes to study the house that was an absolute mystery to him. Perhaps, in some alternate universe, if you believed in that kind of thing, the Winchesters still lived there, John and Mary having the occasional visit from their fully grown sons, who may have had families of their own by now. He sat and stared at the house, parked outside, engine running, attempting not to look suspicious in any way. The last time he needed it was for the new occupants to call the police, although maybe that's what they did need to happen. Dean was missing, after all. He had to admit, though, that Winchester interaction with law enforcement didn't generally work out in their favor, and was best avoided if it could be. He sat in the same position before, looking at the very same view. It's true that he didn't remember ever living in that house, but he had once sought it out himself in one of their rare visits to this town. His curiosity had gone away from him. Dean had refused to go with him, a strange melancholy clouding his appearance at the mere suggestion of it. Dean could remember living there, the life that he had there. Even if it only lasted a short time, he could remember the woman his father had called Mary. Mom. Maybe that was right. Maybe Dean wouldn't come here, but not for the reasons Dad gave. Not because he wouldn't remember, but because he would remember too much. Memories had a tendency to be painful sometimes. There was evidence in the garden that kids lived there now. A turned-over pink bicycle, a small football. It was a family home, just like it was supposed to be. But it wasn't his anymore. It never really had been. Dean wasn't here, or on any of the streets that lay between Missouri's and here. He drove away from the house, slowly pulling away from the curb, keeping his eyes on the house in the rearview mirror. It would be just his luck for Dean to put in an appearance just as he pulled away. He didn't show. After a little while, Sam found himself turning the car off the road where that house lay. Driving in an ever-increasing spiral from Missouri's house, subconsciously creating his very own search pattern, he realized that soon he would have to turn back, retracing his path. There wasn't really much of a chance of Dean having made it much farther in the time he'd been missing, not the way he moved. Dad was searching on foot, keeping near Missouri's. Dean could be anywhere, in the yard, in the footpath. Could have attracted his attention. There's no guarantee that Dean would follow a sidewalk just because it was there. He remembered the games they played as kids, games in which one of them deliberately lost himself while the other had to track him down. Dean was always better at getting lost, better at tracking, too. There had been this one time when Dean had kept himself lost for almost 2 days. Dad had been alternately freaked, angry, and worried, and proud. Sam had sucked at finding his brother and eventually had to admit defeat and ask his dad for help. He couldn't remember Dean ever having to do that. Memory was a funny thing. Things that you wanted desperately to remember could elude you, while things best left forgotten could run up to you and bite you on the ass. That day Dean was hurt and still a vivid memory that haunted Sam's night. During the day there was usually ample distractions, but lying in bed waiting for sleep that was eluding him to come to his mercy, he relived it. It had been every night at first, every night while Dean was still in hospital. It had been less frequent as time had passed, but it had never left him completely. Last night, after Dad had talked Dean to sleep, and then had fallen asleep himself, he had turned and watched them. His dad and his brother, sleeping side by side. The old Dean would have accused him of being a girl if he ever found out that the sight had brought a lump to his throat. That was something he'd never seen before. They never got that close to each other, not unless they were on a stakeout in some enclosed space and they had no choice. He had almost succumbed to tears that was threatening to fall. Almost. That was something that he and Dean had had when they had been kids. But not with Dad. Never with Dad. It had always been easier to just curl up next to his brother when they were sharing the same bed, most of the time anyway. Sam looked at his brother's sleeping face. He'd listened to his father's hushed snores, and he remembered. There they'd been, in the fucking haunted house, in the early hours of the morning. Dad and Dean rolling up a skeleton, just one more thing in the daily lives of the Winchester that should have been surreal, but was actually quite mundane. Deal with the body to deal with the spirit. Jackson Marlowe's body had lain in the house a while longer before he was disposed of. Actually, it had lain there almost a week longer before Dad had been able to drag himself away from the hospital to finish the task. He'd never gone back to deal with a second spirit. He hadn't been able to help it. He really had been pissed at his father's attitude, an attitude that, like Jefferson Marlowe's, would cost him a son in the end. Dean had looked pissed at first, annoyed that he would have to stand between them as a buffer in yet another row, but his expression had changed almost immediately. He'd been looking up at Sam one moment, and then he'd been focused past him, beyond his shoulder. There had been something behind him. Dean shouted. Sam hadn't heard the words. Dean had grabbed him, had physically thrown him behind his body, shielding him from whatever was there. Whatever Sam still hadn't had the opportunity to see. Sam had felt time, his heart, his lungs, just stop the moment he turned and saw his brother. It had nothing to do with the blood that was already pooling around his head, creating some strange, hellish version of a halo. No, that hadn't been it. It had been the knowledge then that the life he was in was the one he would never leave. He owed Dean his life. He owed Dean everything. And as Dean's blood stained the boards beneath his body, Sam wished they could change places. It had been a selfish thought, a thwarted escape. It had compounded his feelings of guilt. He still couldn't put it together. What had happened? Dean had seen something. The look on his face had been evidence of that. But whatever it had been, gone when Sam turned. When Sam had started breathing, thinking again, though, to be honest, a vampiric elephant could have been standing there wearing a tutu, and Sam wouldn't have noticed, his attention firmly fixed on his brother. His attention, shit! Sam slammed on the brakes, focused on the future and the past. He really hadn't been paying enough attention to the present. Zuri! The psychic knew, before she even left the warmth of the kitchen, that Dean hadn't been found by his father. She sensed John's concern, had been able to sense it constantly since the realization that Dean was no longer in the house. The man, her friend, was a beacon of worry. It was washing off him, concern and fear for his son's safety. Missouri hadn't been able to stop them from leaving as soon as they discovered Dean had left the house. Once Sam had confirmed that he wasn't in the garden, he grabbed his coat and Dean's forgotten jacket and had taken the car keys from his father. John had gone out on foot. Her efforts to dissuade them had proved fruitless. She told them that there was no immediate danger to Dean. Dean wasn't afraid. Wherever he'd gone, he had been coerced to go. He'd gone willingly. They had been unwilling to listen. She had felt her temper start to get the better of her. They claimed to value her judgment, trust her intuition, but on this they were willing to dismiss her view entirely. "He's not back here, then." It wasn't asked as a question, and Missouri didn't take it as one. She was finding it more and more difficult to rein in her frustration at the way the man was treating his firstborn. She noticed the way Dean reacted to being excluded, and she hadn't needed her skills as a psychic to do so. One hand swept through his hair and then rubbed the back of his neck. He hadn't worried about his boys wandering off since they were little. Actually, Dean had never wandered off, not since he'd been given the role of protective big brother. That role had actually meant that Sam hadn't done much absconding either. "He's not a child, John." Those were the words she'd used when he and Sam had raced out the door. They hadn't worked then. They weren't going to work now. "I'm not prepared to go into this with you." He was obviously afraid Missouri was unprepared to take the brunt of his emotions right now. "You need to think about this, John. Seriously think about it. That boy? And they'll give you that because he is your boy. He is not a child. Treat him like one, that's hurting him. He doesn't like it." John glared at the woman who was attempting to judge him as a parent, a father. He didn't need someone else to do that. He was more than capable of seeing his own shortcomings in that area. "He might be in danger out there. You said it yourself." "I know what I said, John. Don't you dare try to put words in my mouth. I said that he wasn't in any danger now. Not now, John. Not when he walked out of the garden gate, and not when you and Sam went hightailing out of here without listening to me." She walked over to her friend before lowering her voice. "You came to me because you trusted me. You got Dean from that home because you trusted my gift. If you trust me, John Winchester, you have to listen to me." John felt the fight leave his body. What she was saying was true. He did do those things because he trusted her. But Dean wasn't the person he used to be. Wasn't able to defend himself like he used to. He worried about his kids, always had. Despite what they may believe, he worried about them. It came with the job of being their dad. Worry. It wasn't that he hadn't worried about Dean before. He had, but it was different now. Why couldn't she see that? Sam stared at the cat in the road. Fucking cat. He just sat there, watching him, not moving, blinking slowly. Fucking cat. He hadn't been paying attention to the road, and he'd slammed on the brake to avoid the freaking monster. He hated those feline furballs. Dean liked them, though. Liked their independent nature, liked the way they had the best of all the worlds. Cats, he said, were like them, hunters. They were beholden to no one. He had actually used that word, beholden. If someone was fool enough to feed them, they'd take advantage. Cats were opportunists. They stay put as long as there was something in it for them. Cats believed in sleep, food, the hunt, and sex. God, Dean was a cat. That little speech had risen when Sam had been moaning about wanting a dog. His friend's dog had a puppy, and wouldn't it be great? Dean had told them that dogs needed too much looking after, went independent. They couldn't look after themselves if they were missing a day or two. Cats could. He'd been 11. Dean had been 15. Dad had listened to both of them and had then said no. Put his foot down. No pets. At least not while they were still on the road most of the time. Dean wasn't bothered. He actually hadn't wanted a cat. He just didn't want to share the confines of their cross-country jaunts with a dog. Sharing the back seat, stopping for it to relieve itself, having it share motel rooms. He looked at that fat, ginger tabby and knew that it was sat there in front of his car to spite him. Cats had an uncanny ability to sense those that couldn't abide them. He knew that it had run out in front of his car to give him a fucking coronary. He should have just run over the blasted thing. As he put the car into reverse, eventually deciding that the cat was a movable object when they ignored every audible and visual message to fuck off, he heard the screaming start. Dean had walked, stumbled and limped further in the last hour than he'd probably walked in the last 4 years. It wasn't at all comforting to know that he would once have made it here in minutes, at a jog and not a sprint, but today it had taken an hour, a whole hour. He hadn't had a particular destination in mind when he began to walk. He just followed his nose, turning when he wanted to turn, crossing the road when he hit a curb. He sighed and shook his head. He knew his father probably wouldn't allow him to attempt something as simple as crossing the road on his own. It wouldn't surprise him if Sam would have been reluctant, too. He found himself stopping every 10 minutes or so. The mind was willing, but the flesh was most definitely weak. The last few streets had been particularly difficult. His walk had become more of a hobble. His already pronounced limp had begun to resemble a parody of someone who was hurt. It looked fake. Every step became a struggle as tired limbs resisted the push, but he carried on, pushing them regardless. He navigated around the town carefully, avoiding that one building that even the thought of made him relive the most devastating loss of his life. He remembered Lawrence, everything about it. He passed by the house where Tim Knight had lived. They played in the park together a couple times, their mom supervising them from a distance. Tim had been all right for a kid who constantly had a finger up one or other of his nostrils. He'd been bigger than Dean, but not much older. He'd been maybe 5. He had very vague recollections of his birthday party that he'd thrown up at. Yeah, Tim had been 5 and Dean had been 4, just turned. He'd kept going on about his brother, saying how great his big brother was. Dean had been envious at Tim's insistence that his big brother was the best big brother that had ever lived. Mom had told him, when he asked, begged, and pleaded, that it wasn't possible for him to get a new big brother all of his own. No, she said, that wouldn't happen. But one day, soon, very soon, he'd get to be one. He had to accept it. Dad had agreed with Mom that they couldn't get him a big brother, though they wouldn't explain why. They also wouldn't explain how he'd get to be one. But he had, and he had not had to wait very long at all. He walked to the end of the street to check that his shadow was still, in fact, shadowing him. He didn't know why he checked. It was always there, somewhere, lingering. It was difficult to make out in the gloom. The clouds had covered the almost full moon, blocking its light entirely. The street lamps weren't sufficient to light the whole street. There was a stretch between the cascade of light from each post of about 5 feet, where darkness reigned. A cat darted out from under one of the hedges, sat and looked up at him expectantly. Dean ignored the miniature tiger. He was looking for something else. Where was it? After all 30 seconds, he gave up looking. It would be there even if it was behaving uncharacteristically distant. He didn't know why he would want to hide. Only he had ever been able to see it. He was sweating. He really needed to stop, needed to sit, rest his leg. He crossed the street carefully, waiting until the light traffic stopped completely. He needed a lot of time to cross, stopping halfway to catch his breath. The park hadn't changed much. A new swing set in the pond was gone, that was all. He could see a couple of teenagers down there, boys and girls both, laughing, joking, drinking. He stopped when he got to the old wooden bench, sinking onto it gratefully. Rubbing the twitching muscles of his thigh, he bent down further to get at the calf. He sensed her presence long before he heard her voice. "Hello, baby." He turned to see her, smiling as she sat down next to him. She looked just like she had the last time he'd seen her. She sighed. "I expected you at the house. I waited. Didn't realize you were avoiding the place." She spoke through a smile. She was almost making a joke of the possibility that he had been avoiding her. He watched as the wind caught her golden hair, picking it up and then letting it fall back down gracefully over her shoulders. He hated the thought that she might believe he hadn't wanted to see her. It had been so long. Don't speak to me, baby. I know you find it hard. Think to me. That's what you do, isn't it? Just think to me. You know I'll hear you. He looked across at her. It's not that I didn't want to see you. She smiled. I know that. I just couldn't go there, to that house. He was beginning to feel the cold now that he wasn't moving, the sweat cooling rapidly on his body. One of the girls screamed down by the swings. Dean tensed but relaxed as soon as the laughter replaced the screaming. I've missed you. They sat in silence for a little while, the son trying to gather his thoughts, the mother giving her son time to do so. He felt something around his ankles and looked down to see the cat from across the street nuzzling against his leg. He bent down and rubbed it behind the ear. It responded to this bit of encouragement by jumping up on the bench when he straightened. It lay down with his head firmly on Dean's legs. As the ginger cat closed its amber eyes, Dean found the purring quite relaxing. It calmed him. Dean, talk to me. He stopped stroking the cat, held his hand still. Even though he was thinking to her, the next words were quiet. They would have barely been a whisper if he spoke in them, but she still heard them nevertheless. Everything's gone so wrong, Mom. Everything would have been better if... If I hadn't died? She rested a hand on Dean's. No substance, but he could feel it. Or if you had. He turned his head so that he could see her more clearly. I'm broken, Mom. He moved his hand to his head, felt the concave evidence of his downfall. They don't want me around anymore. They think I'm useless. Then prove them wrong, sweetheart. You can do that, you know. You can prove to your father and your brother that they've made the mistake in underestimating you. They sat in silence once again. Dean trying to make out what the gang were up to, now that they had climbed off the swings. He saw the occasional flare of a cigarette lighter, but it was too dark, and they were too far away. Did it hurt? She looked down, letting her hair conceal her eyes for a short while. When she looked back, there were tears there, attempting to break through. It hurt losing you, and Sammy, and your dad. Dean frowned, turning away. That isn't what he meant. I know you're talking about the fire, Dean. I know you're talking about dying. I know that. She looked directly at him now, being blunt with her honesty. Yes, it hurt. How couldn't it? But when that pain ended, when death finally came to collect me, I couldn't go. I stayed. I waited. Her voice softened. Waiting hurt, Dean. I've never been the most patient of people. Used to get on your dad's nerves. Your nursery was ready for you more than 6 months before you were born. Sam's too. I hate waiting. Doesn't get any easier when you're dead. Waiting in that house, with all of those memories of what it was like to live there with my family, hurt. Watching other moms with their kids hurt. Remembering what it was like to be someone's mom and never seeing my kids. That hurts. Missing you hurts. Dean raised his eyes to meet those that were so similar to his own. She smiled at him. He found his lips echoing hers. Dean was lost in the image of his mother's smile. The hand that wasn't resting on his moved to his head, found the dent. She moved forward and kissed him there. How did you know I was here? You may not come by the house, but your brother has been there tonight. He's out looking for you. She giggled, speaking almost to herself. I can't believe your dad still keeps that car. Dean loved the sound of his mother's laugh, always had. He relaxed back onto the bench, allowing the cold to seep in through the back of his shirt. Suddenly, his only source of warmth was gone. The cat moved so quickly, trying to get away, that it probably hadn't meant to claw his arm as it jumped up and over the back of the bench. Cat sensed the supernatural, he knew that. Had it drummed into him by a friend of Dad's when he'd been 8. That cat hadn't been bothered by Mom being here, so what had spooked it? He looked behind him, back towards the street, to see whether his constant companion had decided to do what a constant companion was supposed to do in accompanying him. It was still too dark to see anything, He quickly scanned the darkness, but nothing was remotely visible in the distance. When he sailed back onto the bench, he realized that the kids down by the swings were coming towards the park exit, coming towards him. They were loud, screaming and shouting. There were five of them, two girls, three boys. All of them were in their late teens, early 20s. As they got closer, he heard snippets of conversations. "He's cute, if you like older guys. Pretty boy, I do. Bitch, fuck you, freak." The males' voices cut through the giggling voices of the girls. They were harsh, angry, threatening. As they got closer, he realized they were heading straight for him, and they were definitely the worse for wear. Drunk, and perhaps something else. His heart started racing. Despite himself, he could feel the insistent approach of fear. He didn't want to be scared of a gang of high teenagers. Where the hell was the justice in that? He turned to his mother, but she wasn't looking at him. She was looking at them. She kept her hand on his, letting him feel that she was still with him, letting him know that he wasn't alone.